everybody, and welcome back to the I Don't Know Running podcast, where we share our experiences that make running fun and sometimes not so fun. I'm Lewis, and I'm a self-admitted smart listen to your body ultra runner.
Are you now?
Yeah.
And I am Mitch, and I don't believe a word that came out of his mouth.
I listened to my body.
I had nothing. I had no intro until you started spouting off a bunch of garbage.
I listened to my body this week. And last week I mentioned I got my 20 miler in, and about 9 miles in, my Achilles was hurting. Said a quick prayer and got through my run. And then I felt good. I mean, it felt great. Everything was good. Went out again, so that might have been on Friday, I think. I think I took Saturday off for no other reason, just like life happened and got in the way and shuffled around. But then I ran Sunday and I just did an 8 miler and I felt it again, the Achilles a little bit. And what I was reading did not make me real happy about an Achilles issue.
We approach things completely opposite. So my Achilles was bothering me at
Groundhog.
So I ran another marathon and it went away.
Yeah. No, so, because of where I've been at over the last couple of years and where I've been at this year, I want to do it. I want to make sure I'm healthy. And so what I was looking up, everything said stop.
What's funny is we should have been recording our conversation before we actually turned on the mics, because we're basically arguing about what rest is, mm-hmm. and then the difference of, you know, life getting in the way and that you really need to get off your butt.
Well, there's life getting in the way, you said, and there's sometimes you just got to get off your butt because it's been 2 weeks.
You're right.
And that's not been me this year.
No, it hasn't.
I've been doing good.
No, I wasn't referring to you, but there is a lot of people that would just keep coming up with excuses. Like, hey, it says I can just, you know, adjust. Well, you've been adjusting for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Like, yeah, their point in that, and we'll actually talk about that a little bit, is, okay, yeah, you had an appointment come up that completely shifted your day.
Not
you missed
2 weeks.
Something. Or, you know, yeah.
Or maybe life happened and it changed and you have to adjust and find how to get back out again.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it could be like, hey, you know, childcare has turned into this, you know, and I got young kids. Hey, you're going to have to try to figure out how to adjust. You know, what is important? Obviously, your kids are important.
Mostly.
The most important thing.
Oh, yeah, mostly. Yeah, or most.
It's easy for us. Our kids aren't little.
Yeah.
But you're going to, you know, if it's still important and you want to balance and you need to get the crazy out once in a while, which I do, I'd have to run yet. I'd have to find out, okay, how do I make this happen? Do I have to buy a stroller? Do I have to do this?
Right, you know? Right. Yeah.
So stuff like that.
Yeah, that's something Nicole did when she had kids. She had to adjust by getting a treadmill.
Yeah.
Like she realized if I want to get my run in, I'm just going to have to run inside. And so she did. And then again, that's something you have to do. You don't wait until your kids are five.
That's a good
six point.
You know,
no,
like
I guess it'd be a lot later than that, but you get the point.
Yeah. You know, it's the same thing. I've talked about a treadmill before too. It's like, well, I can't run outside and slippery and not hit my head. Well, you know,
time for a treadmill.
Yeah. But man, this year was fantastic. What do we had? 2 weeks where it was actually slippery?
Yeah. It has not been bad, although it has been tough to get back out now. And I mean, not tough. Like today I went out and honestly, it felt fine. It rained the whole time. It was a wet run for sure.
I had that on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Rained the whole time.
But, you know, I didn't even really notice it. It wasn't bad. Yeah. I mean,
it's not cold.
I way overdressed because it's so tough because it was 40 with the feels like a 36. Anytime it says 30 something, I'm like, I'm going to feel that.
I know. And we've been through the winter already and we're still dumb.
Yeah. Well, and it's, I overdressed all winter though. I was never, let me think about this second. I don't think I was ever cold this winter.
Carl and I had a run last, we were talking about this morning.
Yeah.
We had a run last week where it started out and it was like, oh, I don't know how to dress this morning.
So yeah.
Thin gloves, thin shirt. And I swear it dropped 20 degrees during the run. We were coming back down and we go through a little dip. And there's sod farms right there. So it's all wide open. And oh my gosh, I was freezing coming through there. My hands were cold. And he said the same thing.
Yeah.
Like it was just so cold.
Yeah. I overdressed every single run. And the only thing I've had to do is peel layers off. So
I don't have to try to.
Yeah. To get warm. Yeah. So yeah, we are today because of, well, for no other reason than we're in training season. We are literally in training season right now.
I'm in
taper
and recover at the same time.
Yeah, you are just in a short cycle.
My favorite.
Yeah. Race on a weekend. And then train for like
the next week.
You're instead of what would normally be like a four week build, 4 week, or no, 4 week base, 4 week build, 4 week taper. You're in like a 4 day, 4 week, 4 day build, 4 day base, 4 day taper.
The notes that you have so far, we'll compare it. We'll just say, hey, this is that's a couple days.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be the
build. A month or two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is all the time you have.
But we want to talk about training tips and techniques. And then if we have time, we'll see if we can get to the next subject, which is the importance of rest and recovery, which is super important, especially at your age. and that I am. There are pointing fingers happening here. That one is because you don't do that well.
Well, it's funny. Anybody that knows me and listens and they're like, you talk a bunch of crap. I'm like, I'm not giving advice for myself.
Yeah.
Because I don't take any of it. I know it's the right thing for other people.
Yeah. Well, it is, but I also think it's the right thing for you.
Yeah. Wouldn't make
the
me
rest.
Happy.
The rest. Well, but I think you would actually be happier. I do.
I don't know.
It is tough because the mental side of it is super important. And
I'm going
to
wake up.
I want to figure out a way to get you to dial back that day.
I'm going
to
wake up at 3:30 anyway. So what do I do at 3:30?
You cross train.
What the hell is that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's you do a non-impact. We'll get into this. Let's
start.
Let's everybody jump into this and train Mitch today on the podcast.
So this is your job as listeners is to convince me.
Yeah.
To follow any bit of this.
Yeah, we need to jump to actually, and we don't even have it on this week's subject. It's next, well, next in a following podcast, cross training. Cross training is what we need to talk to you about because you can do some no impact cycling, swimming, rowing, some cardiovascular yoga. You would cycling be great hurt, at yoga.
Cycling hurts my tailbone and my back.
Rowing.
That sounds horrible.
It's you could do no impact, low impact.
Swimming's cold. Like I know swimming.
Rowing, you can do rowing. But there's you a rowing machine and you can just sit there and row and you have no impact. Your body and your legs can recover. You will be way faster and healthier.
Oh, okay.
We'll get to that. But to this week we want to talk about specifically training tips and techniques with regards to training cycles and the periodization of them. These are some things that we looked up. We're just going to kind of read through them. I think these are some pretty important things to just touch base on and let those that have not done some kind of a training plan, what it might look like. So starting out just...
I will say that. Yeah. If you're just starting out, you really, because I did follow things pretty closely when I first, because I did, for even my first 20 or 30 marathons, all the things, the buildup, go up 2 weeks back, back 1 week and did that slow build and try to build that bone density. I think it is important if you're just starting out.
Yeah.
Nutrition, what you take during a marathon. I used to take a goo all the time and I've gotten to the point where it just messes with my stomach. So I'm really hesitant, about it. So I do believe in this stuff, but I'm a slacker now at this point.
Well, but I think you're in a different place with your races too. You're not concerned with, oh, I got to run a 340. You're
right.
I think that there's a time you might want to do that, mm-hmm. but right now this is the whole happy with where you're at piece.
Yep.
That's not where you're at right now.
Yeah.
And that's the different phases of a running journey as well. In the beginning, a lot of times it is that it's, well, I want to finish. I want to finish a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes, all right, that's my baseline, whatever, 3:30, 4 hours, 4:30. And then it becomes, I want to beat that. Mm-hmm. So then it's, all right, well, how do I beat that? And so it shifts. You shift a little bit. And some of these phases that we're going to talk about change accordingly.
I'm going to keep delaying to.
Well, I know, but
we're going to have a whole episode not talk about any of that.
We're going to talk about this 40 minutes later. Like, all right, that's this week's episode. The part of what, you know, we talked about this a little bit before is, you know, last week or the week before, we talked a little bit about, you know, pacing Glass City. That's my first run back in a long time.
Quite a while. Yeah.
For a distance race. And
you barely ran 26 miles last year.
Yeah, true.
And now you're going to run a marathon.
I'm not too concerned, actually.
Think about that.
That's the mental side. Running is very mental, and I've still got mental strength. I'm not concerned about it. The 20 miler I did felt great. I mean, it was typical. You get to 18 miles and you're wishing you were about done and you're like, oh, I got a couple miles. Actually, you know, what's funny is I got to mile, and this is what happens in a marathon a lot of times. Tell me if you agree with this. I got to mile 16 and I went 4 miles left. No big deal. And I thought, but in a marathon, you have 10. It's like, oh my goodness.
How about the first time you ran more than a marathon and you hit the 26 mile mark and you're like,
tell me about it.
A 50K, you're like,
tell me about it. When I remember doing Burning River 100 the first time I did it. Wait, have I done that twice? No, maybe I've only done it once.
I don't know.
I think I've only done it once, but the time I did it. Well, and it happens to be the same time that I did all five of those hundreds in a summer. And that was the fourth one of the five. And we got to I remember getting to mile 50 going, man, I would just wish I was just doing a 50 miler.
And you do that no matter what distance you're doing.
Yeah. True. Yeah. Everything, if you're doing a marathon, you get to the half, you're like, wish I was just doing the half.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember saying those words going, only a 50 miler. And you go,
When I did mine, I crossed the main aid station. It's like, only 25 miles to go. Only. That's a long freaking ways when you're at 75 miles.
Oh my goodness. Because that's an out and back 25.
Yeah, out and back. Like it was.
But isn't it more than that? Isn't the one way shorter? Or is it right in the middle?
Maybe a little bit. It's pretty close to the middle.
Okay. I was thinking it was shorter on one end, like 20, but maybe it's not. I've not ran it. So talking about Tunnel Hill, those that are listening. So anyway, So what got me thinking about it was when I started looking at the times or the training plans that said, you should be doing a 20 miler this week and a 22 in 2 weeks. And I'm going, holy smokes, man. I felt like I was behind all of a sudden, but that plan was very specific to like speed and
I was gonna say because we still have
it's the end of April, 28th, so seven weeks.
It's a ton of time.
Did you respond about the I saw there was an email? I gotta do that. I forgot.
I had to set in my singlet size and I have to
did that. You didn't do that.
And I had to tell him that Rob is out and Jim is in.
Oh, you do have a replacement.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. But that got me thinking about this.
So we're going to get to the subject.
We are going to get to the subject and talk about. So first of all, what is periodization? Simply put, it's just a systematic approach. And I'm going to read this off and then we're going to discuss it. But it's a systematic approach to training that involves breaking down the overall training plan into distinct phases or cycles. The goal is to optimize performance, prevent burnout, and reduce the risk of injury, which includes rest. It's like creating a roadmap for your running journey. So what are these? These are the three main phases that you're going to find in just about any program out there. Now, there are different programs and different coaches that and will do different things.
There's a lot of similarities between them. Not one is the gospel. I have to throw it out there.
100%. There are different approaches to...
I get this crap all the time that there's this one favorite one that I hear about all the time, and that's the gospel. And it's
Does it start... Well, is it the Higdon?
No.
Or the Higdon's starts is with a good an base H plan. And ends with Anson's.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very good plan.
It is a good plan. It's just another one.
It's another one.
I've followed it and really had... I enjoyed it for... It did a good job, but I don't have any comparison either.
Right.
Like, I've never followed another plan.
Hal Higdon's is good for just a beginner, just to get the miles out.
Yeah, and what's interesting is everybody goes to Higdon for completion, but they have completion level, like A, B, C, D, and elite, levels.
Yep.
So there are more to them, but it is funny how that one seems to be like, go follow this. That'll get you through your first marathon. So anyway, they'll have a base phase.
And not all of them talk about the base phase, because even if you look at Hansen's, that starts out, it doesn't really have, it has maybe a week of base, and it is under the understanding that you are a runner.
Yeah. I think that one's already jumping you in.
It jumps you in pretty heavy.
Yeah. Quick. Yeah. I'm not even sure, because what I did was a plan that was set up. So I don't even know specifically what they have.
Because I think that before you start some of these plans, base miles matter. You have to be running. We talked about consistency before we're on air. You have to have some consistency before you start these plans.
Yeah. Yeah. So the three phases are base, build, and peak/taper. And the base is meant for just that. It's giving yourself a foundation to run on. And so... If a plan doesn't have that and you're coming off the couch, you probably should find another plan.
Right.
There's plans
to get you ready, just couch to 5K or couch to 10K. Yeah. And there's multiple variations of that. They will get you started.
Yeah.
And they will keep you from getting injured if you follow that plan, because they're very easy starting. A lot of walking, a lot of rest, a lot of all that.
Yeah. And then you get into the build phase, which is more intense. It increases your speed and hill type workouts, things like that. And man, that is depending on what you're doing. When I did the Hansen's plan, I did it on a treadmill. 90% was on a treadmill. Because it was specifically for Boston, and obviously you're training a lot in the winter for Boston. So
but I think some of those hard workouts are better on the
treadmill. Easier on the treadmill. I'm not 100%.
I'm not a fan. I hate the treadmill, but I'm telling you, for setting your speed, if you are looking for a specific pace, set it and go. And you can't slack or fall off the back of that damn thing.
Well, and there are so many of those that are, 5K pace for 400 meters and then minute and a half of rest. And then do that again. And then the next one is 600 meters and then 800 meters and then a mile. I can't imagine doing that outside.
Oh, I've done it.
I just can't imagine. That's too much to keep track of.
And in the winter in the snow.
Yeah, no way.
That
doesn't make any sense, because you can't
skate run.
Yeah, you can't do that.
It's not safe.
No. So that's where I think taking that type of workout to the treadmill is awesome. Treadmill is a great place to do that.
It is. And I think that you can't discount the different variations of the road, when you're doing that. So if you're doing a hard workout and it's a little bumpy, that's what you're going to get in a race. So if you can do a little bit of both, if you just want the speed, you can do it on the treadmill. But if you want the...
Anytime you have interval type training I would say interval type training, I would 100% recommend a treadmill.
Or a track.
And then you can take everything else to the road. Yeah, 100%. Speed workout that is just like
tempo
run, stuff like that.
Hills. I think it's hard to, I know you can do the incline on the treadmill, but hills are hills, man.
Yeah, that is one thing that we should probably find that study I found and talk about that a little bit. It said if you run under like a 7:10 or 7:20 pace, it's recommended that you do a 1% incline for your runs. Anything else, they said it doesn't matter.
Hmm.
I don't remember why the science works, but they said the science works out like this.
Hmm.
So I should find that study. It was pretty interesting because I always wondered, like, do you get the same thing on the treadmill as you do outside? And they did this study with a bunch of runners and found that there was a point where it made sense to increase the incline. Otherwise you can leave it flat. But anyway, the build phase becomes more intense. And then you have the peak/taper phase, which seems to be where Mitch is all the time. He just runs a marathon and then he starts another taper.
Recovery taper.
Yeah.
That's my favorite because I feel more sane then.
Yeah. Cause you can relax and run.
Yeah.
You don't have any pressures of like a training.
A training cycle. Yeah. True.
The taper/peak phase involves reducing volume, but maintaining intensity to allow for optimal performance on race day, which just makes sense.
And we talked about that years ago. You'd almost take all this time off before. Yeah. I never liked that.
Like 2 weeks.
Yeah. And I was always like.
Yeah. Your intensity would go down and your mileage would go way down. And then you would show up. And
sluggish.
And what they found was that's how runners were showing up to race day. And so that's changed. And that has definitely evolved over the last, like,
a lot of plans will have you run the day before, like a couple miles is all.
Yeah. But. And I think that feels good. That's because, I mean, let's face it. If you've done a proper training plan workup and you've ran a couple of 20 milers or something like that, or longer for some, a couple miles a day before is nothing. For a marathon, if you've trained for a marathon.
Well, when I did my 100, I was streaking at that time. I did 6 miles the day before the 100. And then the next day I did six, and that was more of a walk than a run.
Yeah, I bet.
It's horrible.
Yeah, that's, again, that whole running every day I don't think it's a good thing to get attached to. But that's just me. It's not about slagging. It's about being healthy. And so it talks a little bit about just how to design your own. I mean, obviously that's pretty specific to each person, right? And if you,
For sure. You know, different people do things differently. Like just like training plans, like a lot of there's off the shelf training plans.
Yeah.
And they work for the masses, but if you really want to narrow in, might be time to get a coach.
That's what I was just going to say. You can definitely go and find a training plan, lay it out per your schedule. And an important thing might be like what we talked about with like daycare or something like that. And if it's a 12-week plan, you might have to extend it to a 14-week plan or a 16-week plan to make everything work. But that's where you have to. You do have to do, if you're going to do it on your own, you got to put in a little bit of time and lay it out. And let's talk a little bit about recovery and how that fits into the overall training cycle. Because that is a part of the training cycle. And so let's just see what this says.
Ooh, look at the time.
Yeah. Recovery is integral. After the build phase,
we're out of time.
There's usually a recovery week with reduced mileage to allow the body to adapt. So also incorporating rest days, proper nutrition, and sleep throughout the entire cycle is essential for preventing burnout and maximizing your running gains in the body. Sleep is one I mentioned to you as like, how do you, you're pretty good. You have a pretty regimented, I go to bed on time, whatever works for your schedule.
Right.
But unless you have issues like, I couldn't sleep last night kind of a thing, but normally you're getting your rest.
I have been. And I was a little under the weather last weekend and I whatever was going around.
Yeah, it is going around. Holy cow.
But this week, I think I recovered pretty quick. I ran through it, whether that was a good idea or not.
Shocker.
Not for me. I'm an idiot. Well, plus I was doing the weight loss thing at work. So I had to burn the calories.
That's right. That's right.
But just been tired. Like I feel fine. I feel a little drained. I mean,
you probably would coming off from what you came off. Yeah. Yeah.
So I just trying to recover from that, but I've been doing the things I need to do. I always get my sleep, but just trying to make sure that I'm getting to bed and I'm trying to, you know, like if I am that tired, I'm trying to get the rest.
And it's amazing how much I wish I would have looked this up because I just thought about this, but I think there are some studies that show just how much the body repairs itself with proper rest. Like going to bed on time, getting in. And
I got to laugh. Mark showed up at the run this morning. He ran last night. And then he says, and then he already ran this morning. He's like, I basically did a double, you know, because he ran whatever. And I'm like, you can't call it a double. You slept in between. Yeah,
you went to bed and got up.
You went to bed and got up. You can't call it. Well, he's like, elite.
I do doubles all the time. I go to bed. I run at night, go to sleep, get up and run in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, well, elites do that. They take a nap during the day. So and he's like, I'm basically an elite. I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
You are. You are. Good one.
Speaking of which, he has Boston coming up.
Yeah.
Is he getting excited?
I don't know.
How's he feeling?
I think he wants to run it easy. Like he wants to, not easy. He's going to give it effort.
Yep.
But he's not going to try to go for.
Put pressure on himself for anything.
I don't think he's going to try to Boston qualify there. He's going to run how he feels. I think he's going to save it for Chicago. And he wants to knock it down at Chicago.
Chicago's in October, right?
Yeah. So he wants to do a hard one then.
Okay. Me.
But he wants to really enjoy the experience of Boston, which I think is fine.
Is his brother going too?
Yeah.
Qualified?
Yeah.
Or just going?
I think they're both running.
Okay.
Because that's why I always try to rib them and like, you know.
Yeah.
Can't let them beat you.
Oh, that's cool. That'll be a good time for him, I'm sure. But yeah, the importance of rest and recovery, super important. And then, it does talk about proper nutrition. So, again, super important. And we've talked about that.
So the McDonald's I had for lunch today.
Yeah, not the best for.
Not good choices.
Yeah, I'm equally not good at this. But yeah, getting in good food to repair, to give your body the nutrition it needs. The nutrients it needs to repair. And we talked about that a little bit with Terrence on the PT Sports Pro side of things. And I'm sure we could ask him, hey, let's talk about this some more. And he would be happy to talk about that part. but getting proper nutrition, that's key.
He's not here to defend himself.
No, so we can throw all kinds of zingers at him.
But it's true. Get him going.
Get him going. I was thinking like a wind up doll or something. You just wind them up.
See, you know, like that little space we had in there, it would have been all over. He would have been on it earlier.
Yeah. Which is good. Incorporating rest days as in not, like taking days off from running. That's important. This all is in an effort to let your body heal because the process is break the body down. It heals stronger, break the body down. It heals stronger. Let's talk about the importance of flexibility within the training plan. And this is important because, we talked about this a little bit. There's two types of flexibility.
Right.
Runners have very little of one or both.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Yeah. Being flexible with your training plan, I think, is super important on many, many levels.
And that's where a coach will help, I think. Yeah. It's hard for you to think, I am failing if I don't do this workout. That's in my head. It's on the schedule. I got to do it because I've bought this off-the-shelf plan and it says do it on this day.
Yeah.
If I don't do it, and what we're really saying is maybe you have to skip it because you just can't do it.
Yep. And I think it's important to the coach side of things, like what you mentioned, having a coach will be able to say, hey, no big deal. We can make this up by A, B, C, and D.
Yep.
Don't even worry about it. And so mentally, that's huge. That's a huge pick-me-up, because if you're in week, whatever, 12 of a 16-week training cycle, that would suck.
Yeah.
Mentally, to get that, and you don't really know what's this doing to me. It's your first marathon. And
like Carl is actually trying to train for Riverbank, a sub-2 without a coach right now. And then he missed like 10 days because he was sick. He had whatever crud he had too. And then it's like trying to get back. And I think it's like people actually get sick. So how do you make that up right in the middle of your plan? And we talked about it this week, and it's like, Riverbank is in May, and it's like what you do today matters in May. And, it, and it's true.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. It could be a hard workout. It could be rest. It could be.
Yeah. Because you can't just say, well, I'm going to slough off the first 6 weeks because I'm going to hit hard the last 6 weeks. Well, that just doesn't work.
Nope.
I mean, you got magic. That's the build and base, as a base and build phase.
Especially at our age.
Yeah. Right. Our age, your age. Carlos, life is unpredictable. The thing it says here is just, it's essential to reassess and adjust the plan accordingly. So
yeah,
understanding that it's okay. And the other thing you might have to do is extend a phase, or readjust some goals. I mean, quite honestly, if you know you were training at your limit, you're going for a 3:45 and you've only ran like a 3:55. You might have to dial it back a little bit and say, all right, well, I'm going to use this as a training marathon now and run a 3:47 and target something else.
Or being all right with going for it. And like, you know
if
what?
If you blow up, you blow up.
You blow up, you blow up.
Yeah.
And I've surprised myself before. Like, yeah, I don't know where that came from.
Very true. And we're not saying that one missed training run will do that. Most times, if it's one, you're okay.
But the simple math, if you can't hit any of those workouts.
Well, yeah, that's different. Now. You're not even following the right training plan.
Right.
If you're not. Yeah,
you don't even have the right goal.
You get your 5K, 10K, or whatever best race and lay it out based on that. Those are the times you should be following. And that's completely different.
Yeah.
But yeah, adjust accordingly. And then. Yeah, the final thing, we did talk about this a little bit with regards to training plans, and we just touched on this, consistency. Consistency is key. It's huge. Mm-hmm.
I've seen you're giving me a hard time about, not taking a day off, but I have been super consistent since December I started, and then I really went after it in January because work got out of the way and, I could work a normal work life. I hit it hard in January and February, probably ran a marathon a little bit too early, but that second marathon, I felt the reward of the consistency. Like, it definitely paid off.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I still wasn't quite ready, but I could see the improvement.
Yeah. You've been consistent 100%. Because you've been healthy. And so keeping that healthy part.
What are you saying?
Are you trying
to turn this around on me again?
I'm just saying we should talk about this next part of rest and recovery, the importance of it. But
this is do what I say, not as I do.
Yeah, I think you need to start doing what you say also. You need to start doing what you say.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Consistency and the second part of that is adaptability, as we did talk about. If you have to adapt, you have to adapt. Mm-hmm. Like, life happens, totally understandable. Just be okay with that. So embrace the process, be patient, and remember the progress is rarely linear. It's gonna have some dips and spikes. So just be aware of that. And yeah, the next piece of this, you know what? I think I want to save this given the time. Just want to pay attention to that. I think that's all we're going to cover on this. And the next one, we will cover rest and recovery and the importance of it. And I think this is just this is the start of some more types of podcasts like this that we will have, where we're actually going to, as much as we like to joke around and say, we don't know anything about running and all of that. We have definitely gotten a lot of experience in running different plans.
We do, but that's the thing is when you think that you know everything is when you get surprised. And we're open to the fact that we don't know everything.
100%. We still learn every day.
That's really where it comes from.
And so we just want to share some of that. And we want to share some of this stuff that we read about in the very beginning stages and things like that. And stuff that we do say, we are in a different journey right now. Like you're in a different journey right now with where you're at with running. You want the consistency. You want the every day. Well, I shouldn't say consistency. You want the every day. That's helping to keep you mentally sane, things like that. And for me, I'm where I'm at coming off from what I've come off from. I want healthy. I want consistency. Not every day. I do want to follow like a stride, foot pod type plan. And that's where I looked at it's funny. I looked at my, let me see if I can pull it up really quick.
Your app?
My app, because it has been in the, what is it called? The performance. No, the running stress balance, your RSB. It has been in the purple zone, which is cautionary for a while. Like it has not been in a good place. And so today I looked and it's in the performance. It says your running stress is low and you're primed to take advantage of your current fitness. And that's because I took Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday off. It allowed my body to rest and recover so that I could go out today and I felt amazing. It
or is telling you it's like, okay. Enough of the couch, Lewis.
No.
You're primed to like get off your butt.
It's funny because
and go.
If you ignore, like Garmin has a similar Garmin has a similar one. I think Strava probably has a similar type thing. Maybe. Yeah, they do. They do. If you ignore those, you can get hurt.
Mine's always telling me it's like do more. That's what mine says to me.
Yours says that.
It does. It's like, hey.
I think you're lying.
It says, bring it on.
I think you're lying.
You know what? It tells you how many hours you got to recover. It's like, hey, run tomorrow again.
Yeah, there is that. And I do agree. I think that's all part of it. Like mine said today, it said 15 hours, so I can run tomorrow.
You could have run today again.
Sure, I could do a double.
Yeah.
To be an elite.
Take a nap first, so.
But yeah, this is a piece. This is a podcast where we do want to share some actually valuable information with you guys, and more than us just like, I don't know, goofing off and finding fun things like last week's weird things that we do. Too many of those things that we do. But yeah, this is one of those segments we want to share actual information for you guys. And yeah. Anything else?
I can't think of anything else.
You could have just stopped. I can't think.
I think we need to go for a run.
Yeah. But thank you guys for listening. Go check us out on Facebook. Give us a comment. Go check us out on YouTube. Give us a comment. Like, subscribe. Do all of that. Check out our Patreon. You can join the team for free or you can choose to support the show in some way, shape, or form. But with that, that's going to wrap up this week's episode of the I Don't Know Running Podcast. Be sure to tune in next time as we share more about what we just don't know.
Until then, happy running.